Okay, Chair, you're on the record.
Thank you, Jennifer. I'll call to order the Rail Belt Transmission Organization, RTO. This is the Governance Committee. It is June 20th, 2025, and we are starting at 12:01 p.m. here in the Alaska Energy Authority Conference Room. Jennifer, please proceed with roll call for committee members.
Yes, sir. Alaska Energy Authority?
Curtis Thayer here.
Chugach Electric Association?
Arthur Miller here.
The City of Seward?
Brian Hickey here.
Homer Electric Association?
Brad Janowski here.
Matanuska Electric Association?
Tony Izzo here.
Golden Valley Electric Association?
Travis Million here.
And the Rail Belt Reliability Council?
Ed Jenkins here.
You have a quorum, Chair.
Thank you. We'll move on to agenda item number 3, public roll call.
Okay, so we'll go to the folks in the room.
Tina Grovier, Sol Reeves, counsel for the RTO.
Tony Zellers, MEA.
I don't think that's on.
Price, AEA.
AEA. Okay, and we can go to the folks on the Teams meeting that haven't identified themselves. If you'd like to state your name and affiliation for the record.
Carl Monroe, consultant for the RTO.
Nick Shmoniak, Chugach Electric.
Sarah Lamb, Electric. Okay, that was Sarah Lamb and Larry Jorgensen.
Jess Buehler, outside counsel at HEA.
Daniel Heckman, Golden Valley Electric.
Joel Groves, alternate to the RRC.
Matt Reister, Matanuska Electric.
Okay, Chair, I think that's everybody.
Thank you. Governance Committee members, you have the agenda before you. I'd like a motion to approve.
Travis Million, I move to approve.
Second, Brad J.
Moved and seconded. Any comments, edits? Seeing and hearing none. Jennifer, please conduct a roll call.
Yes, sir. Chugach Electric Association?
Arthur Miller, yes.
The City of Seward?
Brian Hickey, yes.
Homer Electric Association?
Brad Janarski, yes.
Golden Valley Electric Association?
Travis Million, yes.
The Rail Belt Reliability Council? And Alaska Energy Authority.
I'll vote yes. You want to vote for me?
The motion carries, Chair.
Thank you.
No. Did you vote? No.
I gave Ed my vote, and he said no. Tony Izzo for MEA, I vote yes.
Okay. The motion carries, Chair.
Let's move to public comments, starting with those in the room.
Okay. Is there anybody in the room that would like to make a public comment? Is there anybody on the Teams meeting that would like to make a public comment? Please raise your hand. Okay, if there's anybody on the phone that would like to make a public comment, please press *9 and you'll be recognized. Okay, Chair, there's no public comments.
Thank you. Agenda item number 6, approval of the meeting minutes of June 13th, 2025. I'd like a motion to approve.
Travis Million, I move to approve the minutes from June 13th, 2025.
Second, Hickey.
Moved and seconded. Do we have any comments, edits, changes? Council.
Hi, this is Tina Grovier. There were just 2 unidentified speakers, and we'll take care of that, correcting that on the side. So
We'll listen to the transcript unless you want to take care of it right here. They're on page five. But we can also just listen to the transcript and correct that with your committee's permission.
Yeah, these were just received this morning, so.
Any concerns from the motion maker or the second, Brian?
None for me.
Okay, so we have a motion to approve the minutes with the impending identification of speakers on page 5, which we will have in the recording. That'll be added. Jennifer, proceed with a roll call vote on the motion.
Yes, sir. The City of Seward?
Yes.
Homer Electric Association?
Yes.
Golden Valley Electric Association?
Travis Million, yes.
The Alaska Energy Authority?
Chris Thayer, yes.
Chugach Electric Association?
Arthur Miller, yes.
Matanuska Electric Association?
Tony Izzo, yes.
The motion carries, Chair.
Moving to agenda item 7A, Alpha, under Old Business Working Group Update. Mr. Heckman, I'll invite you to take the mic.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good afternoon, Governance Committee members. This is Daniel Heckman with Golden Valley Electric for the record. So the Governance Committee had a meeting last Friday, and then since that time, the working group has met as a group a couple of times in order to finalize the public presentations that are going to be covered under agenda item 8, I believe. Those are the new business items, as well as some of the material that are going to be considered under agenda item 9. And that's been probably the focus of the working group as a group for the past week. We continue to have conversations and drafting on the tariff advice letter that's going to be the cover letter for the open access transmission tariff filing, as well as finalizing the draft of the oath itself, which I believe was provided in your packets today. And I'll just kind of regurgitate what I provided in my last working group meeting update last Friday, that this group is going to be pretty focused on the RCA filing. It's June 20th, so we have a week and a handful of days left to meet the filing deadline. So the working group is starting to tailor its focus on those efforts, and that's pretty much from a high level what the working group's been working on for the past week. Stand by for any questions or comments you have, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Heckman. Any questions for Daniel? I'm not seeing any hands raised or any in the room, so we'll move on to 7 Bravo, RTO certificate filing and oath filing. Turn it over to you, Tina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, everyone. I don't actually have anything to add beyond Daniel's report, although I do have matters related to these topics, the RCA certificate, the upcoming tariff filing, and those listed under new business to discuss in executive session, the immediate knowledge of which could have an adverse effect on the legal and financial position of the RTO and or the committee members. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or follow-up for Tina? Not seeing or hearing any. We'll move on to agenda item 8, new business. A, backbone transmission, annual transmission revenue requirement presentation. Who do we have queued up for that?
That will be Ms. Lamb, I believe.
Hello.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you for joining us, and please proceed when ready.
Okay. Just 1 second.
Thank you. For those online, we're standing by with a minor technical difficulty while we get the presentation uploaded.
Okay. And through the chair, are we ready to start?
Standby.
It's my computer issue. So just give me 1 second. Okay.
Have Daniel
here? Yeah, I've got it here. It's going to be momentarily.
I know. I don't understand why. Very unprofessional. Look, somebody didn't pay for the eyes.
Are the eyes gone again?
Yeah, the eyes are gone again. Same week.
What's going on?
It's a cost-saving measure.
All the eyes in the title on this presentation are missing a week later. You know, after.
It's a printing issue.
Wish I could go.
It costs extra.
You get a 1/26th discount.
We're ready.
Okay, looks like we are ready to proceed. Ms. Lamb, over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Sarah Lamb. I'm the CFO for Homework Electric Association, and today I'm going to be presenting on a group effort. It was driven by the Railbelt CFOs to develop the BTS, or the Backbone Transmission System, annual transmission revenue requirement. Next. So the objective that we had was to manage regulatory burden by adopting a consensus-driven FERC-approved methodology for formulate rate making that could be applied uniformly across all TOs. Next. The BTS ATRR template that we started from is a MISO template. We chose it in part because MISO does represent diverse entities, so it has cooperative members in addition to municipalities, cities, for-profit entities that are all subject to FERC jurisdiction. The template is a fairly transparent way to develop the ATRR, and that includes work papers and reduces the need for discovery. And then it is a non-discriminatory rate-making design, so it's consistent method supporting non-discriminatory rate-making. Next.
The basis for the ACRR is based on the Uniform System of Accounts. It uses audited financial statements for a year ending 12/31 for most utilities and June 30th for both AEA and Seward. And the this is going to be an exercise we go through annually, so it'll be updated annually. Next. So the process is we're going to be calculating the asset basis for the backbone transmission system informed by some of the decisions that the Governance Committee has already made. We're calculating the utility's annual revenue requirement related to transmission, and we're applying allocators to the utility's annual revenue requirement for transmission to result in a total cost of service for the BTS asset, which ensures uniform treatment. Next. The first step was to identify and exclude facilities that were not considered to be part of the BTS. This includes the generator interconnections and generator step-up transformers. The exclusion value is based on the detailed utility records in those cases. And then for the non-backbone transmission assets, or those assets excluded from the RTO Governance Committee approved BTS line segment, we developed a methodology that establishes a weighted average cost per mile informed by the individual line's average capacity and length. Next. So the template runs through a whole host of allocators to allocate portions of the utility's cost to the transmission function, and we'll walk through some of those allocators in the next slides. Next. This is more or less the comprehensive list, but we'll move on because we will address each one of the allocators on a separate slide. Next. So beginning with the transmission plant allocator, we're taking the total transmission plant for each of the utilities, and we're excluding those assets that are not considered to be part of the BTS, in addition to those generator step-up transformers I mentioned earlier, to arrive at a total transmission plant that would be eligible to be uplifted into the RTO rate. And in this example, the total transmission plant allocator is 74%, and we'll see how that is used in later slides. Next. The next allocator is the gross plant allocator, so it takes the total transmission plant multiplied by that TP allocator we just discussed, and it also adds the intangible and general plant multiplied by a wage and salaries allocator, which is on an upcoming slide, to arrive at a total gross plant figure. And in this case, the gross plant allocator is at 11.71%. Next. The net plant allocator is essentially the same exercise we just walked through for the TP, but it also then contemplates that same allocation to the accumulated depreciation accounts. And so we get a net plant allocator here of 11.41%. Next. And then the wages and salary allocator is really used for general and intangible plant in addition to the administrative and general expenses. So we are allocating to transmission function on the basis of the wage and salary allocator. And in this case, that allocator is 4.9%. Next. And then we get to the transmission expense allocator. The transmission expense allocator basically allows you to apply the allocator to transmission expenses so that the portions of expenses that should be related to those assets excluded from the ATRR so that they can't be excluded, so that the transmission expense allocator in this case is 60.8%. Next. Direct assignment, there's some, within the template there are some work papers that walk through an allocation to transmission function. One of them is the A&G work paper, which provides, which applies the wage and salary allocator, and so that the results could be directly assigned to transmission function. Next. When it comes to margins, and then we're going to talk about how we've addressed the margins and revenue pieces next. The proposed margin calculation that we have in our template can be used by cooperatives, and it is used by cooperatives that are subject to FERC, and it can also be used by munis and for-profit entities. The desire was to provide consistency and eliminate discrimination in accordance with HB 307. We had recommended that we adopt a uniform tier for all of the participants, but the recommendation for that tier level was to be based on analysis before filing with the commission for rate recovery. Next. Revenues associated with transmission expense or plant must be reflected as revenue credits against the BTS ATRR, and when we in a couple of upcoming slides, you'll see how that is performed. Next. So we're looking at the gross BTS ATRR calculation, and you can see that in column 4, we are applying allocators, as previously discussed, to those FERC functions to arrive at a total revenue requirement to be collected through the NITS rate of $5.4 million. And next. And then if there are revenue credits derived, or if there are credits being received by a utility for transmission functions, then that reduces your gross revenue requirement off the top. And so in this particular example, the fully allocated ATRR of $5.4 million is reduced by $76,000 to arrive at the net revenue requirement for the BTS ATRR. And that really wraps up the presentation for the ATRR. Do you have any questions?
Arthur.
Just a point of clarification. So on slide 17, revenues associated with transmission or plant, on the grandfathered agreements. So on the revenue on that, what you're saying there is that the revenue would be applied as a credit to the specific utility's revenue requirement that would then be ultimately collected in rates. The credit's not going at the RTO collective system revenue requirement. It's done at the utility level.
It's done at the TO level or the transmission owner level, correct?
At the transmission owner level. Okay. All right. That's what I wanted to get clarification on. Thank you.
Brian. You're on mute.
Yeah, thanks, Sarah. I just wanted to, early on, and I didn't catch the slide number, I saw that it said it removed transmission assets associated with grandfathered agreements.
There are actually two cost treatments for accounting for grandfathered agreements. There is one route that you could directly assign those assets, and so you would exclude them. You would do a similar calculation as you are with the GSUs, and you're removing them from plant basis, and so they're not informing the ATRR in that matter. The second treatment for grandfathered agreements could potentially be then the application of the revenue credits, reducing the gross ATRR and arriving at a net figure because that represents what you are not already collecting.
And so are we doing one or the other of those? Or I mean, my question here is because really those facilities are all the transmission lines going from Bradley Lake to Fairbanks. So if we're taking them out, maybe I'm misinterpreting what removing them from the cost allocator means.
The template provides for that option, but I understand that for most of the utilities who are receiving revenues, they are electing to instead reflect the credit. So they're keeping the full amount of their transmission plant in the ATRR, but then they're reducing their revenue requirement by the revenues received from other sources.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Curtis?
I just want to double check or clarify. AEA will have modifications to this format just due to the nature of how we report, correct?
I would imagine so.
Okay.
Ed?
Thank you, sir. On slide 9, lines 2 and 3, just noting, I believe those facilities are excluded because In the application of the seven-factor test and the Mansfield test, those facilities were not classified as transmission as far as inclusion in a network transmission system and therefore not in the backbone. And that's why they're excluded. They're not excluded just because they're radial facilities. There's actually analysis that went into that and excluded those based on that analysis.
That is correct.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Sarah? I'm not seeing any. Thank you, Sarah. Let's move on to 8 Bravo, open access transmission tariff presentation. Mr. Monroe, please proceed when ready.
Thank you. I think she has a presentation to put up, so I'll wait for that. Thank you. When you get to this first slide, you can move that. So we had our last presentation to show the additions, the deletions, and the modifications of the tariff itself. So there's been additional work that the RTO working group has been working on trying to develop the draft tariff. And so this is just some of those areas that we have. One of them we've just discussed is understanding that the template is a method that can be used to generate the ATRRs that are necessary for the RTO to do its calculation of the cost of service. And then there'll be others that will be discussed too by y'all. So I'm not going to go through those particularly. I'm going to go through some of the other ones that have been discussed. If you want to go to the next slide. So this first bullet just talks about those that I just talked about. And then as we work through this, you know, in order to determine the ATRR and the cost of service, we'll have to make those changes within the tariff. And that includes not just the calculate or the method of determining the ATRRs from each of the transmission owners, but also the calculation of the cost of service. But also in the tariff, it needs to deal with the billing and invoicing of that, and AEA's proposed some changes that's being worked through integration into the tariff on how that billing and invoicing would be done. Also, as HB 307 required, and we talked about a little bit before about extended interruptions, there's some billing activities that need to take place because of that requirement from the legislation. To develop the issues in billing that have to reflect that if a disruption occurs in an isolation of one entity for more than 24 hours from the rest of the BTS, how would that be actually handled from a billing for transmission or cost of service? And then the last one is the AEA admin fees. The working group has talked in light of using the same allocator that's used for the BTS ATRR, but it will be listed on separately on the network customer's bill. So any questions about where we are with that whole realm of ATRR and cost of service issues? Brian, Mr. Vicki.
Mr. Monroe. Just to clarify, the network customer bill is the bill that goes from the RTO to each of the governing members, right?
It's each of the governing
end use consumer. It's just going. It's going to the actual utilities.
Yeah, you are correct. It's anyone that has load too. So, for instance, we do have AEA that's a TO that has no load, so they'll never get a network customer bill. But the rest of the TOs do have network load, and so they're the customer of the RTO, and they're not the retail customer of each of the utilities. The network customer bill is just for those network customers.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the next slide.
Good Ms. Carl?
So here's some of the issues that we talked about, some of the ways in which we modified or deleted sections in dealing with both the TSA or the Transmission Service Administrator, who's the administrator of the tariff, the RTO, and the TO. And so we had changes to make based on those methods that we were using to change the tariff. One was if the TO needs to do studies for any request to change things like generation interconnection or to change the service, network customer service, they get a new generator or take off a generator or they add a new load or subtract a load. If there's extra studies that are necessary to do that, the TOs will be doing that. But that cost will be paid directly to the TO and not done through any RTO accounting or TSA accounting. Also, the group said that it made sense to queue the change request. So if a TO gets several change requests, they should be queued in the order that they're received. And then the bigger issue had to do with what do we do with new upgrades and understanding that the RRC IRP process and transmission planning tariff work will change some of these responsibilities right now. The default right now is that new upgrades would be included in the ATRR of the TO. There was discussion, there's been discussions before about new facilities that might be built that were significantly different or significantly influential in the operation and the connections to different parties within the transmission system. And so we understand and would have to allow that there may be changes that would be necessary if things happened before the implementation of some of these other tariff changes for the RRC and the transmission planning tariff. So anyway, at least currently the tariff language would put those upgrades to be included in the ATRR of the TO that builds the new upgrades up until the time that that would be changed. Any questions about that?
Not seeing any, Carl, so please proceed.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. So really, we do have to work on creditworthiness and the payment default, what happens in those cases. There's a lot of discussion going on there, and it has to do with, you know, refunding and crediting and how is that actually handled. And recognizing that the RTO really is meant to be revenue neutral, what that means is they have to, they don't have anything that they have that they can pay. If they have to pay more than they have, than they get as revenue. So we have to go through those discussions also. So that's in the middle of being discussed with the RTO working group. And then also there's a service agreement in there, and the service agreement's a legal agreement between the network customer and the TOs and the TSA. And we do need to ensure that in that service agreement that each of those parties, the TO, the BA, and the network customer, will follow the tariff revision, tariff provisions that are they're responsible for. And it's also to make sure that they obtain the ancillary services and that they respond to congestion relief when necessary and other and any other responsibility that we've already talked about in the tariff itself. But that's just to make sure that the service agreement binds all parties to follow the tariff. And then the next slide. So we'd be open to hearing if there's any other issues. There's, and of course, as you've received a draft of that, and I know that it's laborious, and we won't be going page by page today through the tariff. But if there's any comments of any issues that anyone has about other areas of the tariff that need to be considered, or any other information that you need. We're open to having those discussions.
Thank you. Any comments from the committee? Questions? Not seeing any, so we will move on. Thank you, Carl.
You're welcome.
Next on the agenda is executive session. We've heard from council that there is a need, so I would like a motion to move into executive session.
Mr. Chair, it's Travis Million. I move that the RTO enter into executive session to discuss confidential financial matters related to the RTO finances and legal strategy. This is consistent with our bylaws, which allows for the board to consider confidential matters in executive session. In this case, the RTO believes that these are subjects that would have an adverse effect upon the finances of the RTO, are being discussed with an attorney, the immediate knowledge of which could have an adverse effect on our legal position of the committee, or are protected by law due to rules protecting personal privacy and certain business information.
We have a second.
Second, Brad.
Thank you, Brad. Let's call the question, and should the motion pass, then I'd like to go around to get input from each party as to who should stay. We have the motion. Yes, I want to rule on it. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to articulate. Thank you, Tina.
Okay. Jennifer? Homer Electric Association?
Yes, Brad.
Matanuska Electric Association?
Yes, Tony Izzo.
Golden Valley Electric Association?
Travis Million, yes.
Alaska Energy Authority?
Chris there, yes.
Chugach Electric Association?
Arthur Miller, yes.
The City of Seward?
Brian Dickey, yes.
The motion carries, Chair. Okay, Chair, you are back on the record.
Great. Before we move forward on the agenda, I'll advise that the RTO had not taken any formal action on the matters discussed while in executive session, except as authorized by the bylaws, section 5.12.2, and that was to give direction to our counsel handling specific legal matters and pending negotiations. So, open it back up for discussion amongst the body before we move on to agenda item number 10. Any input, feedback, or discussion from committee members? Curtis?
Do we want to do the motion?
Sure. Or I thought you were indicating you were volunteering to speak, but
no.
Yeah, whatever. Sure.
Okay.
Did we want to take a break as a group?
Yeah.
All right. Let's be really rigid at 5 minutes. I am ready.
Okay, Chair, you are back on the record.
Thank you. Bell Belt Transmission Organization Governance Committee is back on the records. We'll just pick up where we left off. Prior to the break.
I'd like to make a motion. Curtis there, AEA, I'd like to make a motion. Earlier in the meeting today, we had a presentation on the ATRR template. And with that, I would move that we adopt the template for calculating the annual transmission revenue requirement for the backbone transmission system that was presented earlier today, including its allocator methodologies, its use of unified tier, and its accommodations for the treatment of the costs of grandfathered agreements with modifications that may be necessary for AEA to include backbone transmission system costs established by contract.
Arthur Miller, second.
Okay, moved and seconded. Discussion? Ed?
Yeah, I just want to note that cost of grandfathered agreement and how it's being allocated in there most likely does not eliminate wheeling, and I look forward to further discussions on that topic.
Yeah, and I just echo what Ed says on that, and recognizing that trying to get in the direction of the The way the statute is written is the intent with this body, and that we're going to be looking at ways to try to implement those to eliminate the wheeling as much as absolutely possible.
Okay, any other discussion? Seeing and hearing none, I'll call the motion. Jennifer, please.
Yes, sir. Alaska Energy Authority?
Yes.
Chugach Electric Association?
Arthur Miller, yes.
City of Seward?
Brian Dickey, yes.
Homer Electric Association?
Brad Janowski, yes.
Matanuska Electric Association?
Tony Izzo, yes.
Golden Valley Electric Association?
Travis Million, yes.
The motion carries, Chair.
Thank you. Arthur.
Okay, thank you. Earlier we had a discussion on the development of the backbone transmission system, transmission revenue requirement, and embedded in that is a return component, if you will, under the FERC methodology. But if you look at it in the context of tier, what is that equivalent amount of a tier basis for establishing electric rates in recognition of the cooperative utility structure in the rail belt? And in recognition of that, in recognition of the fact that we want to use a consistent, equitable tier for all participants in the rail belt, I've moved that the RTO use, for illustrative purposes, in the RTO's 2025 transmission submission to the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, a unified tier of 1.35, with the understanding that when filing its initial cost of service, a full cost of capital study will be completed that will identify the proposed final transmission tier and the determination of the revenue requirement.
Travis Million, second.
Moved and seconded. Do we have any discussion? Seeing and hearing none, I think that was a clear motion. So just to confirm, that was, if I recall, illustrative purposes to be determined later based on study.
On the cost of capital study.
Right. Yeah, that's not an attempt to amend the motion. It is as it was made and seconded. Okay, Jennifer, let's please call a question.
Okay. Chugach Electric Association?
Arthur Miller, yes.
The City of Seward?
Brian Hickey, yes.
Homer Electric Association?
Brad Janowski, yes.
Matanuska Electric Association?
Tony Izzo, yes.
Golden Valley Electric Association?
Travis Million, yes.
Alaska Energy Authority?
Curtis Thayer, yes.
The motion carries, Chair.
Very good. Thank you.
Yes. So,
Travis.
Also going back to the statute that was passed, there was language in the statute on how to allocate costs throughout, looking at a couple different optionalities, to talk about coincident peak, also looking at load ratio share, and then also looking at maybe some sort of combination thereof. And we've gone through a couple different iterations looking at that, and the recommendation that we're going forward, I would move the RTO allocate the costs of the backbone transmission system through certified load serving entities on a coincidental peak basis using a 12 CP method.
Arthur Miller, second.
Moved and seconded. Do we have any discussion, comments, questions?
Arthur, I have a comment. I think that this is really, I think, a very good way to go in the allocation of the transmission costs, recognizing that the transmission system is used throughout the year not only to meet peak requirements on a monthly basis, but also does, it's also used for transmitting energy as well. And the 12 CP recognizes the benefits not just to meet the system peak load during the winter months, but also cost causation characteristics and use of the transmission system through other time periods of the year on an equitable basis.
Very good. Any other comments, discussion? Seeing and hearing none. Jennifer, please conduct a roll call vote.
Okay. The City of Seward?
Brian Dickey, yes.
Homer Electric Association?
Radzinorski, yes.
Matanuska Electric Association?
Tony Izzo, yes.
Golden Valley Electric Association?
Travis Million, yes.
Alaska Energy Authority?
Curtis Thayer, yes.
Chugach Electric Association?
Arthur Miller, yes.
The motion carries, Chair.
Thank you, Jennifer. I'll ask if there's any business left before the committee, before we go to member comments. I'm not seeing any hands.
Sure.
Oh, go ahead.
Sure. I think the working group has expressed an interest in another cost allocator related to regional and local benefits, and I think the group has a strong desire to study all the components to that and determine what a reasonable regional local benefit allocated would be. So I would make a motion that, Mr. Chair, that we study a regional local benefit allocator to the backbone transmission system's annual revenue requirement, and that we include in the tariff a placeholder with a to-be-determined ratio between regional and local allocation, as well as two or three examples.
Arthur Miller, second.
We have a motion. It's been seconded. Discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Travis.
Yeah, I would just say that I think it was interesting to me. I think going into this process, the regional local thing was never on my radar, and as we got further into it and heard a number of different reports and presentations from our consultant who has been through this process down the lower 48 a number of times, really brought forth that there could be some benefits all the way around for the entire transmission organization, breaking it down by a regional and local benefit as well. But of course, with the timeline not being able to really flesh that out properly ahead of time, I do agree with the process of going through and studying this and then giving some examples for the filing process, but knowing that we need to go through and study and really figure out what is the best allocation method for the rail belt, because Alaska's rail belt is unique compared to Lower 48. Thank you.
Any other comments, questions? I'm seeing and hearing. No, I do. Brad, please proceed.
Yeah, thanks. One question I have is, has this issue been talked about before the before the working group committee?
Dan,
yes.
Oh, Brian, go ahead.
Yes.
And their response was what?
I'm sorry, maybe you could be more specific.
I'm looking, I guess, towards Daniel. Okay. Based on your motion, Brian, if the working group talked about it and what their recommendation is.
He's muted.
You're on mute, Daniel.
No, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't speaking out of turn. So, Mr. Jodorowsky, through the chair, this is Daniel Heckman with Golan Valley. The working group has discussed a regional local benefit allocator, exactly as the maker of the motion described. We believe that it is something worth evaluating and including as part of the overall ATRR. We are not recommending a certain percentage at this time, but perhaps a range, various examples that could show the various benefits at various percentage intervals. So, but yes, this was discussed at the working group.
Okay. Well, I'm not seeing or hearing anything else on that one. So, Jennifer, please conduct a roll call vote.
Okay. Homer Electric Association? So, Homer Electric Association?
Oh, sorry, I was on mute. Yes.
Matanuska Electric Association?
Tony Izzo, yes.
Golden Valley Electric Association?
Travis Million, yes.
Alaska Energy Authority.
Curtis Thayer, yes.
Chugach Electric Association.
Arthur Miller, yes.
The City of Seward.
Brian Hickey, yes.
The motion carries, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Any other matter before this body that we need to discuss or address prior to moving to member comments? Seeing and hearing none, I'll start with those online. Brian, you've been way too quiet today, so we'll start with you.
Sure, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to thank the working group, all of the working groups and all the folks who've been putting in lots of heavy lifting over the last few weeks. It's good to see that we're coming close to the end of this, and thank you for your leadership, and I'll move.
Okay, we'll go to Brad.
Same thing, ditto. Thanks. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Arthur.
I also want to recognize the working group and all the heavy lifting that they have done. I'm really happy with where we are and the progress that we're making and the good collaboration among all the utilities, and recognizing that the overall process, once the filing is made, is going to, we still have a long road ahead of us to get to where we're going to go, making significant, meaningful progress. Thank you.
Curtis?
No, thank you for the meeting today. I think we solved a lot of issues. I'm glad we talked through a lot of things, and where we are today is not where I thought we were in, say, December. So thank you.
Thanks, Ed.
Again, thank you for all the working groups, and I just want to note the good work the CFOs have done on working through the cost allocation methodology and really how quickly they were able to work through that together to get that done. So I just wanted to note that one.
Yeah, great meeting. Echo what everybody says. Hats definitely off to the working group. I know the amount of time and effort they've been putting into it. My understanding is that the chair of that group, Daniel Heckman, was handed a mallet or a some sort of a hammer-type item to make sure the group stayed on task and got through the last couple weeks, and appreciate that. Obviously, the CFO group has been pulled in on a number of different things, the technical working group more on the front end, but to get this across, I mean, it was not just one utility, it wasn't one group, it was really the masses coming together to get this thing across, and hats off even to this group. I mean, we've wrestled through a lot of things throughout this process, and we're right there, so thank you guys very much.
Yeah, I'll echo all the positive comments made by others, calling out specifically the working group, the technical group, the legal group, all the parties that have spent the countless hours with us in this process. And maybe my closing comment will be, I'm glad Daniel got a mallet and not a mullet. Agenda item number 11, next meeting date is going to be June 30th. 10:30 a.m. It will be a Teams meeting, and with that, I would take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
We need to conduct a roll call vote for adjournment, Council.
Technically,
please.
I don't think
you said so.
I'm looking directly at Brad and Brian. Any objection to adjourning?
Absolutely not.
I see.
No, thank you.
Yeah, any objection in the room? Seeing here, and hearing none, we are adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate you did it.